thank you for joining us for our weekly broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today, we are continuing our series called Hard Questions, Solid Answers. This is a series of questions you have asked Pastor Dave throughout his years of ministry. So let's listen in now as Pastor Dave answers this hard question with a solid answer.
We're going to go into Genesis here tonight on a couple of issues that I get quite often on the radio. One is, who is Cain's wife? That's one that I think is actually easy to answer. And so through much study, I've actually found out her name is Penny. No, okay, that's wrong. That's not true. But I do want us to go to Genesis chapter 4. You might remember the movie Contact with Jodie Foster. It was actually a book by Carl Sagan, who's an atheist. And Ellie's character, played by Jodie Foster, Ellie relates that she could not get answers about this question here about Cain's wife. And so as she pursued the minister's wife to find out what is the answer to this, who is Cain's wife, she was kind of like rebuffed. And because of that, the inference here is that obviously since the Genesis account could not explain where Cain's wife is, this is one of the reasons why Ellie no longer believed in God. And so you have that. You have what is known as the trial of the century, is known as the Scopes Monkey Trial. In 1925, the Tennessee legislature passed what is known as the Butler Act, which made it a misdemeanor to teach evolution of human evolution in the Tennessee school system. Anywhere that taxpayers were paying for public education, they passed a law saying, hey, look, all the books already teach evolution. It wasn't that you couldn't teach evolution. What they were saying is that because we don't have a voice to teach creation or anything else, all we're asking is that you don't teach human evolution. And so that legislation was passed. And so because of that, the ACLU offered to defend anyone accused of teaching the theory of human evolution in defiance of the Butler Act. On April 5th, 1925, a guy by the name of George Rapalea, local manager of the Cumberland Coal and Iron Company, arranged a meeting with County Superintendent of Schools of Walter White and local attorney Sue Hicks at Robinson's Drugstore. This took place in Dayton, Tennessee. And so the whole reason they decided to get together is they thought, hey, this would be a good way if we can get one of our teachers to be accused of teaching human evolution. And then we alert the ACLU and they take on this case. It's going to bring great publicity to our little sleepy town of Dayton, Tennessee. And it's going to bring an economic boost to our little town. And it achieved that result. At least 200 reporters from all over the world covered the trial, a two-week trial. And thanks to station WGN Chicago, the entire trial was broadcast over the radio, the first ever broadcast of its kind. And so it got worldwide attention. And so a lot of people came into that little sleepy town, and it did give it an economic boost, exactly what they wanted it to do. There is a little interesting side note. The attorney here, Sue Hicks, is actually a man. Sue Kerr Hicks was named after his mother. And this is where Johnny Cash got the song, A Boy Named Sue, from. So just interesting, nothing biblical whatsoever. I just couldn't pass that up. Okay, and he was actually, like I said, named after his mother because his mother actually died in childbirth. And so, and just to say something about him, he always was very good-natured about it. It was really no big deal to him. People said he had a great sense of humor about it. So, again, nothing biblical. I just want to give the guy his due. So, the ACLU found their man, John Scopes, a football coach, part-time substitute teacher in science and math. John Scopes was a substitute for 2 weeks in a science class, although he would later say he did not know if he had actually taught human evolution in that class, yet he purposely incriminated himself so the case could have a defendant. They continued to collaborate with some of his students that he taught, and three students did testify that he did teach human evolution. They were kind of trumped up, but it's so he could be charged in violation of the Butler Act, and so the showdown was put in motion. The state of Tennessee versus John Thomas Scopes was accused of violating Tennessee's Butler Act, which made it unlawful to teach human evolution in any state-funded school. The trial served its purpose. It drew intense national publicity as national reporters flocked to Dayton to cover the big-name lawyers who had agreed to represent each side. William Jennings Bryan, three-time presidential campaign, argued for the prosecution, while Clarence Darrow, the famed defense attorney, spoke for Scopes. The trial publicized the fundamentalist-modernist controversy, which set modernists who said evolution was not inconsistent with the Bible against fundamentalists who said the Word of God, as revealed in the Bible, took priority over all human knowledge. This case was thus seen as both a theological contest and a trial whether modern science regarding the creation, human evolution controversy should be taught in schools. And so the trial begins to be broadcasted, and it's an eight-day trial, and it took 2 weeks by the time everybody came, and the trial started and ended. And one of the sad things is about 3 days after the trial ended, the prosecutor here, William Jennings Bryan, actually died. And so there was part in the trial on day seven where live broadcasts and everything else, where William Darrow, the defense for John Scopes, asked to bring the prosecuting attorney on the stand. It was a particularly hot day there, and so they decided to have it out in the open square because it was like 100 degrees and humidity was about 90. And so outside by the park, there was a little bit of a breeze, and so they wanted to bring it outdoors because it was too hot inside the courtroom. And so they went outside, and they have a picture of this. These are the famous pictures that you see of this trial, and you'll actually see William Jennings Bryan and Clarence Darrow up there on stage. It was on that day that that Clarence Darrow asked if he could ask the prosecutor, William Jennings Bryan, some questions. And so he does. He asked quite a few of them. But one of the questions he asked, and this is an excerpt from the trial record, as Darrow interrogates Bryan, it says, "Did you ever discover where Cain got his wife?" And he said, "No, sir. I leave the agnostics to hunt for her." "You have never found out?" "I've never tried to find." "You have never tried to find?" "Nope." "The Bible says he got one, doesn't it? Were there other people on the earth at that time?" And he says, "I cannot say." "You cannot say? Did that ever enter your consideration?" "Never bothered me. There were no others recorded, but Cain got a wife." "That's what the Bible says. And where she came from, you do not know." So this is being broadcast worldwide. It's being written in the papers. And what just happened there is that Christianity took a big right hand and it dropped them to the floor of public opinion to where they couldn't get up. And this has been a question that has been asked ever since then. This question continues to be asked as well as other things. And I'm here to tell you, the Bible has answers for this. And the Bible has answers in the very text where it talks about Cain getting his wife. And so we want to kind of look into this. Where did Cain's wife come from? Well, it was either his sister or cousin. I want you to see something here. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 5. It says, "This is the book of the genealogy of Adam in the day that God created man. He made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day that they are created." So you can tell from the way this begins, this is a summary of things, okay? It says, "And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years and he had sons and daughters." So Adam and Eve had more sons and daughters than the ones that we see mentioned here in the way of Cain and Abel in chapter 4, and also here with Seth in chapter 5. Now, the reason why it starts there is because Abel has been killed by his brother Cain. And so in verse 25 and 26, it says in chapter 4, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me, instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born. He named him Enosh. The men began to call on the name of the Lord." And we'll get to that in a moment. Going back here to Genesis 5, verse 3 and 5. Again, verse 4, "After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800, and he had sons and daughters." Now, a couple things here I want you to notice here. It does not say in verse 4, "After he begot Seth, he had sons and daughters." That's not what it says. What it says is that after he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years. And then we have a completely different statement. And here he gives us a statement of fact. He had sons and daughters. There are other sons and daughters that aren't going to be mentioned in this account. Now, I want us to see something here as well. You can see here that that Adam and Eve continue to have other sons and daughter at the time that Cain and Abel were still alive. They would have continued to have sons and daughters at that time. If Adam and Eve lived several hundred years, and the Bible tells us that Adam lived 930 years, 800 years after the birth of Seth, and begets sons and daughters, the genealogy of Genesis 5 indicates that every descendant of Adam down to Lamech had other sons and daughters, if you were able to come down there, and they had other sons and daughters. In verse 7, after he begot Enosh, Seth lived 800 years and 7 years, and he had sons and daughters. And so every single descendant here, as they mention him, also mentions has other sons and daughters. Okay? So, and just to understand this, just because the name that is given doesn't mean that they didn't have daughters before that. So yes, Seth begot Enosh, but maybe before he begot Enosh, he had a couple of daughters before that. But because Enosh is his first son, that's why he is mentioned. So there could be other daughters that are being born there before that time. So, considering the long lifespans recorded in Genesis 5, assuming the couples remain reproductive for about two-thirds of their lifespan, the first parents alone would have given birth to 150 children. And remember, they would be having children that are growing up and marrying and having children. Why, Adam and Eve are still bearing children. And then their children's children would still be getting married and bearing children as Adam and Eve are still having children. And on and on and on and on. So at the time of Cain, and who knows how old Cain was when he got his wife? Was he 30 or was he 80? We know he couldn't have been more than 129. How do we know that he couldn't be more than 129? Because he killed Abel, and we're told that Adam was 130 when he had Seth. So it had to have been before the time of Seth being born. Now this is kind of wild. When Adam and Eve were, I almost said born, they were not born. When Adam and Eve were created, were they created as 10-year-olds? I don't think so. I think they were created as adult children. But as adult children, were they 25? Were they 16 and 17? Were they both 17-year-olds? I mean, as age goes, they're within, you know, hours of each other. Okay? But the inference here shows that Adam was made a man and she was made a woman. Was she 13, 14, 15? What was it? Well, there's no age there, but what did they look like? Well, let's say that they come together as one, and they conceive within a few months of being together, and then they have Cain. Literally, Cain's parents are only about a year older than them. Right? So how weird it is to be able to think about this, but kind of go, okay, we can kind of gather how old Cain might be, but Adam and Eve are literally only a year older on the earth, maybe two, before they have Cain. Very strange, strange concept when you think about it. A very strange concept. So, something to consider, going back here to chapter 4. It says in chapter 4, now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Well, in order for you to be a shepherd, in order for you to be a tiller of the ground and everything else, it speaks of responsibility. It speaks of that you're pretty full grown at this point. This is what you do for a living. And then it says in verse 3, in the process of time, and you should have that highlighted. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. In the process of time. So was Cain 20 and Abel was 18? Or was Cain 50 and his brother was 48? I'm just assuming there's a couple years there between them being born. Was Cain 50 years of age and Abel is 40 and between those 10 years, there were a bunch of daughters that were born. In the process of time, and we're not told how long that is, but I'll tell you this, because it says in verse 3 there, and Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image, named him Seth. I do know this, it's in between sometime with them probably being 18 to 20 years of age and Adam being 130 years, that somehow that process of time has taken place, but we don't know how much time. Don't know how much time. So, they could be 25, 30, 50, 80. Bible doesn't really tell us that. All it says in verse 25 of chapter 4 is that Adam knew his wife again. She bore a son, named him Seth, for God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. Now, two things here. One is what it's not saying. It is not saying, since I only have two children, two boys, God is now going to give me another boy so I can have two boys again. It's not saying that. It's not saying that. What it is saying is that since Abel is gone, God is going to replace him with another boy who she is going to call Seth. And so in between that time, there could be other sons and daughters. Many sons and daughters. Again, 100 years could have passed since Cain and Abel's birth to the point where he kills his brother. It does not say. All it tells us is that there is a process of time and that there are other sons and daughters. And so what the question really is, so who was Cain's wife? It was obviously one of his sisters or cousins or a niece is who it was. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. It's good to have answers like that. It's great to be able to, when someone asks you something, say, man, that is a great question. Can I get back to you? Because I don't know, but I do know that there's probably an answer for that. So let me study that. I've only been a believer for a year, 2 years, 30 years, you know? I don't have all the answers. I have no problem saying in the radio program, I don't know. But let me get back to you on that. That's a great question. Even I don't know everything yet. You know, I'm not John Winder. Someday, I will know everything like John does. It's my hope. That's my desire. Why did Joey laugh so hard there? I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. He is. So the skeptics will come and say, so there must have been other races of people on the earth who were not descendants of Adam and Eve. Now, as a defender of the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is why that cannot be the case. This is why it cannot be the case. Because we are told in the New Testament, all through the New Testament, 1 Corinthians and Romans, that wherefore in Romans 5:12, by one man sin entered the world. By one man. So if there are other races of people that God created, then through the fall of Adam and Eve, it wouldn't have affected them. But somehow it did. So it had to start with them. It had to. The Bible makes it very clear only the descendants of Adam can be saved. In Romans 5, it teaches that we sin because Adam sinned. The death penalty which Adam receives as judgment to his sin of rebellion has been passed on to all of his descendants, which is all of mankind. The last Adam speaks of that because Jesus is called the last Adam in 1 Corinthians 15:45. That he is called the last Adam speaks of it began with Adam. And it's going to end with the last Adam speaking of the person of Jesus Christ. He took the penalty. He paid the sin. And so since a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:21-22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, it says. So we look at the first person. Now, the Bible also tells us in Acts 17:26, and he made from one blood every nation of man to dwell on the face of the earth. From one blood. That means it had to come from Adam and Eve. We also know in Genesis 3:20, it says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. All living. And so we can see here that everybody has to come from Adam and Eve. Now, if you go to Genesis 4:16, what does this tell you? So Cain kills his brother Abel, and God comes to him in verse 9. And it says, and the Lord said to Cain, where is your Abel, your brother? And he says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? You know, it was said with attitude. You know, it was said with attitude. And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. You know, there's I know some Christian detectives that use this verse that say, this is what DNA is. This is what blood is. It actually cries out from the ground of what it is that happened to them. I think that's pretty fascinating. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive, a vagabond, you shall be on the earth. And Cain said, the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out of this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive, a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that if anyone who finds me will kill me. And so many people will conclude that there must have been another race of people on the earth who were not descendants of Adam, who are going to want to kill Cain. But I would say, no, the opposite is being proved here. If another race of people who don't know Abel or Cain, why would they care that he's a fugitive or a vagabond? Why are they going to want to avenge Abel's death unless they're related to Abel, unless they're related to him? And so he says, and the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord still set a mark on Cain, lest anyone find him should kill him. And so it says here, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife. She conceived, bore Enoch, and built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And they said, see, he went to the land of Nod to find his wife. It doesn't say that here. It doesn't say that at all. It just says he went out from the land to dwelt in the land of Nod. The word Nod there means wanderings, wilderness. On the east of Eden, and Cain knew his wife. All that says is that this is where they had their son, Enoch, and he built a city. And the word city there just means a walled fortress. That's all that means. So a home with walls is all that means. So what this tells me is that Cain was probably already married at this time. He was already married at this time. And so he leaves. He goes to the land of Nod. Cain knew his wife. She conceived, bore Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot Mahujael, and all the way down the line. And so there are obviously other brothers and sisters that have that have grown up, married one another. They are also having children. And so when we look at this, we can see that it fits in very perfectly with what the Word of God says. There were other sons and daughters. If Cain was 80 years old when he married and before he killed Abel, there could have been hundreds of people, of daughters and cousins and nieces that he could have chosen from at that time. So where did Cain get his wife? It was either his sister, cousin, or niece, one of those three. And it's very easily explained in God's word. Over the process of time, they had other sons and daughters. They lived a very long time. And so there was no hurry to get married. Oh, my biological clock is ticking. What are you, 650? You know? So it is answered there. That is God's answer for that. Okay? Let nothing ever
separate us. We're out of time for today's Wednesday edition of Abiding in the Word. Tune in tomorrow as Pastor Dave continues the series, Hard Questions, Solid Answers. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m., and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. You can also join us for a barbecue and Bible study on Wednesdays at Rhyolite Park, located right here in Castle Rock. The barbecue will begin at 5:30 and then worship and the Word will begin at 6:45. Please be sure to bring a side dish to share. And for young adults, our Arise Ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.